In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you have probably heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He is perhaps the most famous Lutheran pastor in the last century. He is most famous, of course, for his resistance to the rise of Nazism in Germany and within the church, and of course for his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Even before the rise of Hitler, the state of Christianity in Germany was a sorry affair. By edict of the Kaiser, the provincial churches of the German nation had given up the purity of the Lutheran confession a century earlier. It was for this very reason that our forefathers in the Missouri Synod first came to the United States, came to America, so that they could worship God without government coercion and according to their scripture-formed consciences. As the 20th century dawned, rationalism, unionism, and theological liberalism had reigned in the German church, weakened by a lack of confidence in the Holy Scriptures, as well as a lack of confidence in theological convictions. The institutional church in Germany had little defense against Hitler and the Nazis when they were about to perpetrate a new evil on the church. Having lived in a country that had been Christian, at least in name, for well over 1,000 years, those who called themselves Christians had forgotten that there is a cost to discipleship. That friendship with the world means enmity with God, and friendship with God means enmity with the world. In places, congregations even allowed the Bible to be stripped of the Old Testament because it was too Jewish, and the cross to be replaced by the swastika. Some German theologians, like Werner Ehlert, who were uncomfortable with Nazi ideology and quietly resisted its excesses in the church, nonetheless argued for obedience to the regime based on the orders of creation. God instituted government, commands us to honor our leaders, and has placed us in a national community. It was argued that since the Nazis fight for Germany and are the legitimate government, Christians ought to obey their rulers. Now, to be fair to Ehlert, he made these arguments early in the Nazi regime, before the absolute demonic evil of that regime had been manifested. And at the time, they looked like the only bulwark against communism. Communism had already taken over Russia with all its horrors and atrocities. Nonetheless, the signs of the Nazi evil were there, and Ehlert did not resist them. Ehlert and others like him lost sight of the fact that there is a cost of discipleship. He feared losing his prestigious professorship, being denounced by family and friends as a traitor, and being in prison. He capitulated. He put natural duties to nation, to country, and to family above his duty to God. He forgot that Christianity is not merely about doctrinal truths. Ehlert was fairly orthodox, but that obedience to Christ transcends and supersedes all other obligations. To be united with Christ is to be at enmity with the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, on the other hand, saw Hitler for what he was, and Nazism for what it was, an ideology of the devil which had conquered the German nation. Bonhoeffer withdrew from the national church and started an underground seminary where the true gospel could be kept and spread. In this act of loyalty to Christ and resistance to the government, he separated himself from polite society. He broke natural bonds of family and friendship. Ultimately, he took part in the failed attempt to assassinate Hitler and ended his life a martyr, killed in a German concentration camp. Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, has since become one of the best-selling books in the last century. Now, this is a radical example of a radical teaching of two men who wished to be called disciples of Jesus. One who disregarded the things of the world and followed Jesus and suffered the cost of discipleship, suffered his own death, and one who counted the things of this world as something worthy of being grasped and was unwilling to bear the cost. Jesus says to the crowds following him, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Those are shocking words from our Lord, and they are meant to be shocking. Now, it is true that the word for hate here in the Greek, miseo, does not mean exactly what it does in English. Jesus is not talking about a deep-seated animosity or a deep-seated revulsion for family, but more of an absolute disregard. Perhaps a better translation would be, "If anyone comes to me and does not count as nothing his own father and mother, etc., he cannot be my disciple." Jesus puts it more positively elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, saying, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." What is Jesus saying? In the hearts of those who wish to be his disciples, there can be no equal to him. In other words, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It is no accident that Jesus has chosen family as his example. The bonds of kinship, the bonds of blood, are closer than any other on earth. These things are the greatest earthly gifts that God has given us, and God himself has ordained that they be honored. "Honor your father and mother," Sinai booms. "Husband and wife, love and honor each other," the law commands. "Children are a heritage from the Lord," the psalmist sings. And yet we must not take these good gifts of God and replace the giver with them. We must not make them into idols. The Lord Christ brooks no equals. All obligations to nation, to government, and even to family come second to Jesus. If the disciple is confronted with the choice between Christ and his own father, or between Christ and his own mother, or between Christ and his own life, he must count Christ as everything and count his own family and life as nothing. The disciple must be able to sing with Luther, "Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let all these be done, gone. They have yet won nothing. The kingdom ours remaineth." The cost of discipleship in this sinful age might very well be everything, as was the case with Bonhoeffer, who lost his life. We pray, of course, earnestly that we may never have to make such a choice. But if in this sinful age the choice does come, we pray that God would send his Holy Spirit to give us strength to cling to Christ as our all in all. For the kingdom of God is worth more than anything the world can offer. Now, the other side of the coin is that if the cost of discipleship is everything, the reward is everything. Christ the Lord promised, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or lands for my sake who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life." We are united with him in a bond closer even than the bond we share with our earthly family. For we have been engrafted into a new family in holy baptism. We have received a new Father, God, the Heavenly Father, from whom all blessings flow. We have received the Church as our mother, in whose womb we have been born again. And all the saints, living and dead, we have received as brothers and sisters. We are united in body and blood with one another and with Christ in the Eucharist, so that we are drawn ever closer together within Christ's body. We have received a new family name, and it is the very name of the Holy Trinity. This is why in the prayers of the church we do not use last names, because we do not pray for Harold of the house Merkel or for Mary of the house Grody, but for Harold and Mary our brother and sister, sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. We share a family name. It is the name given to us in Holy Baptism, the name of the Holy Trinity, and through the Lord's Supper. They are our own flesh and blood. The very body and blood of Christ are in them as they are in you. Brothers and sisters, we are not ultimately Schumes or Dietrichs or Reams, and I am not a Fulks, but we are Christians. We are blood kin, united together by the very blood of God. And as a disciple of Jesus, all things that belong to him are given to you, and his kingdom is given to you. The saints of the church are your brothers and sisters. The children of the church are your children. And Christ's life is your life. Indeed, the disciple can count even his own life as nothing because it pales in comparison to the life he has in Christ. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80 or 100. Yet they are soon gone and we fly away. But in Christ, life is eternal. Bliss is forever. Christ gives you his life and he gives you his kingdom. May you be like Bonhoeffer, a disciple of Christ, so that you dwell in his life and kingdom now and always, and count it as everything. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.